wonderful love of Jesus, to know that the Son of God loved us so, He was willing to leave heaven. How badly we want to go to heaven. Jesus was willing to leave heaven that we might have eternal life. No greater love than that. And what an assurance that is when we do have doubts, when we do have questions, when we have difficult times. It is that assurance of His love. First for us as His enemy, and then as we accept Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross, then we understand that there is another degree of love that He has for us and manifests towards us, and that is as His children. Romans 5 talks about several much mores. How much more does God love us now that we've been born into His family? If you would open with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want to read verses 13 and 14, where we have some commands. In this age of grace, we are not under the law, but in the age of grace, there are commands of grace. And the wonderful thing about commands of grace is that God, when He commands us to do something, He enables us to obey. That's the work of grace. And so we have these commands that we are accountable for as God's children, as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these commands are to be understood and obeyed in the light of the truth that Jesus is soon to return. So let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." The five commands or exhortations that we have in these verses have always been timely and relevant to God's people. They were certainly relevant to the Corinthians, who were prone to falling into the snares of carnality and immaturity. They were certainly relevant to them in their situation. But I don't believe that the relevancy of these exhortations have lessened any for those of us that find ourselves in what I believe to be the end of this church age, right before Jesus comes and takes away His bride. If anything, the voice of the Spirit, I believe, would cry with greater intensity these commands for us today as we look around and we see all the signs of the coming of the Lord. Sometimes we become complacent when we think about the coming of the Lord, complacent about the signs of the time, because there have been signs of the coming of the Lord since Paul's day, since the time when Jesus left. There have always been signs that Jesus was coming, and I believe that God intended it that way. And sometimes that fact and that reality causes us to become indifferent to these signs. But as we look at the turmoil of the nations, wars and rumors of wars, we understand that there is coming a time where there will be the setting of the scene for the Antichrist. Before the Christ comes, the Antichrist will be brought on the scene to be God's instrument to judge the apostate church, to judge the Christ-rejecting nations. But before that time comes, there needs to be a scene set where He's going to come and fix the problems of the world. The world has a few problems, doesn't it? Have you noticed that? The scene is being set for this one. There is the threat of the economic distress caused by both man-made and natural disasters. Y'all been listening to the news lately about how the domino effect of one disaster or one situation affecting the price of this, and it just goes on and on and on. And looking at it from just the natural standpoint, it looks a little scary. But these are simply signs that should be causing us to remember who we are and what we have been told and what we have been sent to do. From time to time, the fact that the nations hate Israel is kind of slips to the second or third page of the newspaper. And sometimes we forget that they're at the center of all of this. And now we see them float to the top again in recent days, haven't we? It shouldn't be a surprise to us. The nations hate Israel. I mean, to the point they want to eradicate them from the face of the earth. This will lead to the Battle of Armageddon and to the coming of the Lord in glory. In the church, there are signs that Jesus is coming quickly as we look at the apostasy of the church. How the church as a whole, the visible church that declares itself to be Christian, is drifting further and further away from the very basic fundamental truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who know the Word of God, that should raise a flag for us and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We weep, we cry, we wish it weren't so. We wish so many were not being deceived, and yet at the same time we understand it must be. And so we say amen. This is why John, in the close of the book of Revelation, this is why he said, even so. Well, what does he mean by even so? Well, God revealed a lot of very sorrowful, tragic things that were going to take place. But John knew it was the righteousness of God that must be manifest. And so he said, even so, Lord Jesus, come. We need to have that same attitude, that same understanding about the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we truly believe it, our faith will manifest itself in obedience to these five commands. And what a summary they are. If we could just follow these exhortations, we would be doing well. But we need to pay attention. We need to understand what it means to watch, what it means to stand fast, what it means to be strong and brave, and to do all things in love. This morning we'll only have time to consider two of these because I don't want to rush through them. I want us to allow the Holy Spirit to impress upon us what these commands really are and how we can obey them. So this morning we'll look at just the first two, and Lord willing, next Sunday we'll look at the last three. I want us to understand what it means to obey these commands. The first one is watch. The word in the Greek means to wake up and to stay awake. It has the thought of waking up from sleep or from being drowsy and coming to a state of alertness. You ever been awakened from a sleep and it kind of took you a minute or two to really grasp what's going on and who woke you and what woke you, and it just kind of hazy for a little while until you came to a state of alertness, and then you realize, oh yeah, now I know what's going on, I know where I am, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. This is the thought behind this word, a state of alertness. And of course, the state of alertness that we're speaking of here is a spiritual state of alertness. We must be spiritually alert. That means we must understand what the purposes of God are in this age in which we live. We need to be aware of Satan's purposes as well. We need to understand what his agenda is. And of course, we can only understand that as we understand God's agenda, His plans and His purposes. This word makes us think of soldiers that are sent out to do a mission. Watch. Soldiers are sent out with a mission that they are to accomplish certain objectives in that mission. And each soldier is responsible to fulfill his responsibility for the good of the whole military operation, for the good of the whole army. A part of being watchful is not only making sure that they are fulfilling their objectives, accomplishing their objectives, but because there's an enemy that opposes them, they must also be alert to the plans and the attacks of the enemy that would try to overthrow those purposes. So it's kind of a double alertness that's necessary. Be alert to do what you're supposed to do, and be alert that there's somebody that opposes you in doing that. Because we want the mission to be successful. They have to observe the movements of the enemy. They have to be alert for their own protection as well as the protection of those around them. Saints, we need to remember we have a mission. And once again, we can get so occupied with life and family and career and church. We can get so involved in so many things, we forget what our mission is. We are in this life. We are sent into the world just as God the Father sent God the Son into the world that He might die for the sins of the world. That same Lord has sent us into the world with a message, with a mission. We are the ambassadors of Christ. Acts 20 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul gives us a summary of our mission. Certainly the summary of his mission. But that mission is also one that is passed on to us. Our mission is to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us to rule and reign with Christ who's coming. We are here to offer the invitation to others to join in that mission. The Apostle Paul, in Acts 20 and verse 24, he summarizes it in two parts, this mission. Speaking first of the opposition of the enemy that would try to keep him from success in his mission. He says, but none of these things move me, none of the opposition, the obstacles, the problems. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Paul didn't send himself on a mission. He was the messenger of God. So that I finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul summarizes his mission and our mission in these two statements. Number one, we are to finish our course, and we are to do it with joy. Then we are to fulfill the ministry given to us to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. When Paul speaks of the race, it has to do with us individually, personally, intimately, knowing Jesus Christ, walking in fellowship with Him, being transformed within from glory to glory, little by little, as we understand God's will and we surrender our life and our thoughts and our everything about us. We surrender to Him and we walk with Him in this race course that He has set us on. It's about dedicating ourselves to the things. This is what the thought of a runner. There is an intensity. There's a dedication. We dedicate ourselves to the things that are going to make us more like Christ. Christ is the prize at the end of the race. And it's personal. It's individual. And each of us need to run that race with such understanding and such a personal walk with the Lord. The ministry, so that first part has to do with what God is doing in us. And saints, until we start there, God can't do the second. God wants to work in you. We're going to look at some of those things, how He does that. But this is part of being watchful. Be alert to what your mission is. It is to finish your course, to run with patience, and finish with joy. But then, the second part of that is His ministry through us, God's work through us to others. The ministry of submitting to Him that we might be instruments to minister to the needs of others. A part of that is being a faithful steward of the doctrines that have been entrusted to the church on this mission. It's being obedient to God's loving command of grace, whether anybody else does or not. We want to accomplish the ministry that God has given us. This is to be the focus of our life, saints. Can you narrow your life to those two simple things? God's work in me and God's work through me. Do you realize that nothing else in life has any significance apart from how it coincides with this mission? Nothing is important apart from God's work in us and through us. We have an enemy that opposes those works. This is why we must be alert, saints. We have to watch. Because if we fail to watch, we're going to fail in the mission, and the enemy is going to overcome. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is why we have the command, watch. It's imperative that we be watchful, that we be alert. There are many reasons why many of God's people are not alert spiritually. One reason why many are not faithfully watching is because they are being distracted by other things. They're not focused on the mission. 2 Timothy 3. Paul gives Timothy a warning along this line. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Continuing with the analogy of a soldier on a mission. Soldier must be alert. Second Timothy 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not always a fun, pleasant race that we run, fight that we fight. But we must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If you become so entangled in other things and they become the mission of your life, you will not be faithful in your true mission. Other goals, other activities, they take priority in so many of God's people's lives. We understand that many things are not sin in and of themselves. They're just part of living in this life. We understand that. We have many responsibilities. We have many activities that that we must be a part of, and many of them are absolutely ordered and directed by God and are a blessing. But when any of these things become our mission in life, when they become the priority, then, saints, we've allowed ourselves to fall asleep and we're no longer spiritually alert. There's nothing wrong with family, career, community. But when those things are the focus of everything you do, you're distracted. You're entangled. And when you're entangled, you're not going to be able to resist the enemy and his plans and his purposes. You're not going to be able to accomplish your objectives that you've been sent to accomplish, and that is to know Jesus and to minister to others. We become distracted by the things of life when those are the focus. When the situation or circumstance dictate your trial, your sorrow, your needs, your loss, when those things dictate how you feel and what you do, think about it for a minute. A soldier doesn't have that luxury. And we are in a battle, saints. Jesus is coming. The enemy is opposing God and His people. But when we allow our circumstances, our situations to dictate what we do and how we think and how we react, then we fail to be controlled and led by the will of God. Stop and think about that for a moment. Being watchful, being alert, is to do what you do in obedience to the will of God. And when we allow anything at all, to distract us from that, we have fallen asleep. Others fail to be alert because their spiritual senses have been dulled by the drunkenness of carnality, sin, the pleasures of life, giving in to the desires of their flesh, doing what they want to do instead of what God has commanded us to do. A lot of God's people have fallen into that. And they think that they are living and are wide awake, but they are spiritually in a drunken stupor. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to read a lengthy passage here and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us the urgency of our need to avoid such drunkenness, that we might be watchful. First Thessalonians 5. Stop and think as we read these words, as we read the Word of God. What are your goals in life? How would you summarize your life? How would you describe the direction that your life is going? No matter what stage of life you're at, young or old, stop and ask yourself, how would you describe it? Could you describe your life and the direction it's going in the same way that the Apostle Paul? He says, it doesn't matter what else happens to me, my desire, my ambition in life is to finish my race with joy and the ministry that the Lord has given to me of the grace of God, that I might share that with others. Can you truly summarize your life that way? Many of God's people can't. And one reason is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. And let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. You cannot be spiritually alert if you are drunk with the pleasures of sin. Saints, we have been given such wonderful light to see things as they really are. The unsaved person is darkness. He lives in darkness. His heart is dark. His mind is dark. But we are the children of God. What a privilege we have to know the will of God. What a privilege to be made alert to see things as they really are. That we know that there is a pleasure of sin, but it's only for a very short season, and then the cruel, cruel consequences of sin set in. Even for the child of God, there are consequences in this life, and there's loss of reward because we did not finish with joy. Eternal life is a gift that all those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ will have and will enjoy for eternity. But saints, I've been given the privilege to sit in the throne with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This mission that I'm on is worth staying alert for. This calling of mine is the high calling, the upward calling of Christ, the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is why people sometimes think I'm a little too intense. I like to think that I'm simply watchful. I take this mission seriously. This is a serious thing we're called to. Not only is it a matter of life and death, it's a matter of eternity. And this is the wonderful calling that we have. Saints, let's not fall asleep. Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Saints, watch. Stay focused. Be alert. Jesus is coming. We are the children of light. Let's take advantage of the privilege that we have been given. Let's put on the armor of light that will protect us from the attacks of the enemy. And that leads us then to the second one and the last one we'll consider this morning. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. The word, the phrase means don't move from your position or your course. Don't move from your position or your course. In the light of the coming of Christ, in the light of the ultimate victory over all the enemies of Christ, don't let anything, don't let anyone move you from your faithfulness to identify yourself with Christ and His will. One of the ways that we stand fast in this mission is to stand fast for sound doctrine. The principal teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is where the church has apostatized. This is what they've left. Teaching. The gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why it's so important, and this is why it is such a dangerous thing that so many of God's people have fallen asleep when all of this corruption of doctrine has taken place. Oh, it's no big deal. Oh. And while the watchmen have been sleeping, the enemy has come into the camp of God's people and wreaked havoc because we're not standing fast. 2 Thessalonians 2. It matters what you teach. It matters what you embrace as church doctrine. And if we do not stand fast, then we will fall. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 15 to 17. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Don't move. Don't change course. Hold the traditions, that is, the things that Paul handed down to them that were revealed to him as the apostle of this church age, that he handed down to Timothy and Titus and to us, which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You cannot be established in good words or good works if you are not established in good doctrine. The world would like to sweep us off our feet. Would like to carry us away with its swift current of sin and rebellion against God. They say that the Word of God is no longer relevant to our day. Not only is it not relevant, it's detrimental. Even in our own state recently, they've passed a law that it makes it clear that what the Bible says about things is wrong. But saints, I'm going to stand fast. There may come a time, you may think I'm getting a little weird. There may come a time when you may have to come see your pastor in jail. Because I've stood for truth. Do you think that could happen in our country? I think it could. I think it could. But it doesn't matter. Whether it does or doesn't, whether it's popular or unpopular, there have been times when, you know, it's kind of popular to be a Christian. But you see, none of that matters. It doesn't matter whether anybody else stands or not. You stand for what God says to be right. If you don't stand, you will fall. And there's only one thing that's worth standing for, and that is the sound doctrine of the Word of God. By the grace of God, I plan on standing on this word. I stand on it. I stand for it. I stand with it. I stand by the word of God. There is only one God. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus, the man. I stand on that. I believe in justification by faith and by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. I stand firm on the doctrines of the two natures. I stand firm on the victory of the cross over the penalty, the power, and one day the very presence of sin. The world can mock at that all they want, but I'm standing by the grace of God. I stand immovable on the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit and the need for every child of God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You cannot shake me. You cannot shame me from the position of the truth of the literal return of Jesus Christ. I stand firm because I know Jesus is coming again. I want to stand firm in proclaiming the truth that Jesus is good and faithful to all of those who fear Him, and He will supply our every need. Saints, are you standing firm? The mocking of the world's only going to get louder. It's only going to increase. This is why this command is so relevant to our day. Oh, it was relevant to the Corinthians. But how much more in our day? Watch, stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Too many of God's people are compromising sound doctrine. So many of God's people don't even know these basic truths that I mentioned. That's pretty sad. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Do you believe there's coming a glorious resurrection morning as described in 1 Corinthians 15? Do you believe Jesus is really coming? If that's true, therefore, my beloved brethren, verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to stop there this morning. If we can have a song in closing, I want to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. We need to understand. You say, Brother Doug, we made the effort to be here this morning. Why did you preach to us like that? Many of you are so faithful to be here. Every time the doors are open, why in the world would Brother Doug preach to us like that? Now, we can give you a list of people we'd like for you to go preach that to, but saints, we need to understand that the way that God's people begin to be sleepy or begin to move from their position of faithfulness, do you know how that usually takes place? It's not that you wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm done with this, and then you just leave it. That happens. I understand that. There are circumstances. But you know what happens more often than not? It's a very slow process of compromise. One day at a time, you begin to become distracted from your mission. Oh, you haven't left the mission. You're still on your post. But something is beginning to grab your attention. It could be pleasure. It could be trials, it could be problems, it could be family, it could be career, it could be anything. But little by little, you become distracted. You ever see some of these videos that these babies sitting in their chairs, getting ready to eat? Maybe they've just eaten, or maybe they're waiting to eat, and little by little, they just begin. And they fall in their plate of peas right there. That's how it happens spiritually too. Little by little, we allow ourselves to fall asleep spiritually. That's why I preached to you this morning. That's why the Holy Spirit preached to me before I ever gave it to you. We can't allow that. Be watchful. Be steadfast. Don't take the little steps off of the path to try to compromise, to try to please yourself or others. No, you stay on the course that's revealed to us in His Word.